Thank you for inviting me. I am not really an academic. I have grown up watching people like Victoria Schofield and one or two others. And I'm really, really humbled to share a platform with such a acceptable people. But what I'm going to do is, I've been in the UK for 42 years. I came here in January 1970. I didn't want to come here. My father brought me here against my will. I was very happy. He used to send us money, and I used to ride horses bareback and go swimming in Montague. And I was very happy with that. And I would have been still very happy with that. I blame my father. When I came here, I used to go in the attic and cry, but there was no way back. And also, I really love this girl, and I thought, I don't want to go away, and I'm not sure in that process, and that's another story. But I was about 14, I've never had the privilege to go to school, but I don't know my date of birth at all, but I presume that I was about 14. There was no school where I come from. I went one a few years back, recently. When I came here, my granddad became ill, my father had to go back, and from 14 to 18 I came, one day I was 40, next day I gave £10 to Pakistan University, and that's why I say control corruption is not bad. I became 18, so I started working, so that denied me. And then I used to go to textile mills in Matabia, because my mother tongue was Pahari, and the leadership and the supervisor and everything was Indian and Pakistani and nobody classes. Whoever could speak English becomes more community leader. You know, when they talk about, oh, we consult with the community leaders, self-confessed community leaders, you know, whoever could speak English, they became community leaders. And even the Pakistani became community leaders and the Kashmiri blacks. And I couldn't understand that. So it was through union, adult education, that I started to learn English in Matamir. And there I started seeing, I used to get all the dirty jobs. I used to, you know, like, clean toilets. But the Pakistani boy of my age, they were giving dirty jobs. The discrimination started there. And I thought, what's going on there? But I didn't know. I thought, well, that's okay. Now, I will talk about my experience in an equality framework. The equality frameworks are intended for use for self-assessment too. You know, how good an organization is doing, you know, good practice. And these are designed to support systematic and structured improvement. They can help organizations deliver improved services. The frameworks essentially are intended to inform decision-making about services that aim to be more tailored to diverse needs. You know, like people say, Muslim community, Victoria Schofield can embrace Islam tomorrow, but that doesn't mean that she like curry or something. You know, like people talk about Muslim community, there's no Muslim community as such. There's no Asian community. There's no black. It's like me saying Christian community. But anyway, contribute to the evidence base that underpins the reason for changes, why services are prioritized in the way that they are. The proactive need. And the further on is, I won't read all of it because it'll fuck my time up. Further on is engagement and empowerment. So unless you celebrate, you know, like recognize diversity and whatever, you, how can you engage and empower with somebody? You know, like if you can't speak my language, they couldn't empower me in the back because they couldn't speak my language. Integration of equality, but you know, like for integration you have to go from A to B, you have to know A. And then you go to B, and if they don't know who I am, you know, I can't really integrate, or they can't plan for services for you. So it is a statutory duty, actually, it's law, it's law, which I'll talk about later on. Now, who is a Kashmiri? And, you know, there's a big debate. People in the valley are Kashmiris, are the state Kashmiris. To me, anyone who is eligible for a state subject, Kashmiri nationality introduced in 1927. And this status is ingrained in Indian and Pakistani constitution and probably UN resolution as well. You know, India will have got special status, Pakistan, you know, like. So it's a state identity rather than the value that is important. Are there any Kashmiris in the United Kingdom? But most social commentators believe that 70 to 80% of so-called Pakistanis originate from Kashmir, and that includes people like Rajiv Bawa, Vrinder Singh Kalura, Dr. Nasreen Ali, Dr. Dayan, most of the social commentators, 70 to 80% of so-called Pakistanis in this country originate from Kashmir. Now every fourth or fifth Muslim in the UK is of Kashmiri origin. Almost 2% of the population is Kashmiri. Kashmiri community can be found in inner city ghettos, you know, like Lipton, Birmingham, Blackpool, all these riots and everything. They were not telling. So Kashmiri is kind of disenfranchised, marginalized youth. Migration, I've done some interviews. There's hardly anybody who came here because of Bangladesh. People who are here, and then they're because of economic deprivation back home, they call their families, and this is chain migration, like Shamal said. Now, how Kashmiri have been excluded? But everybody knows that there's a national census here and the local government and all the government departments. Kashmiris have been excluded from various states and society, including all service planners, providers, and policy makers, even universities. No university labs of whom Kashmiris are students are there, you know, nobody knows. Kashmiris are invisible community. We don't exist, I don't exist. You know, like, as a Kashmiri, I don't. Now, everyone talks about Kashmiris, but not to Kashmiris, even in this country. You look at media, anything happens, they'll go to Pakistanis, they'll go to Indians, but they never talk to Kashmiris. You know, it's talk about that, but there's no talk to that. The impact of exclusion for community and state itself. It is believed that, and in my experience shows that the Kashmiri community runs parallel to mainstream as well as the rest of the main communities, including South Asian communities. It runs in isolation, in ghettos, it's parallel to mainstream. Hasn't got a clue how to integrate. Is not aware of community cohesion at all. Does not participate or is unable to participate in meaningful consultation of contemporary issues like terrorism or anti-radicalization. There is no relation to them. Is well below national average in achieving 5 GCSEs, very underrepresented in universities and academia. Overrepresented in criminal justice system, overrepresented in unemployment, underrepresented in white collar jobs, very overrepresented in high income economy, taxes, tax rates, hence likely to get into heinous crimes like sex grooming in Russia, you know, not officially, but 95% of it. Because it's the opportunity there, it's nice time, all they do is taxes, takeaways, whatever you. No education, no engagement, nothing. You know, like they didn't think they would be in the government. Overrepresented in depending on welfare benefits, overdependent on social housing, living really under surrounding conditions. Easy to recruit for right-wing fundamentalists, even at uni level. For example, several bombers of Kashmiris. And Israel suicide bombers of Kashmiris. And lack of identity. My own children went to university. Pakistanis won't accept them because all they do is speak Pahari and English. When they say, oh you're meek, you know, Kashmiri. There's a lot of bigotry. If Indian won't accept them, where would they go? Everybody needs their identity. They end up in Islamic societies. And then in Bulgaria, love your uncle. There you go. They're open to, you know, exploitation. More likely to suffer from ill health and stay excluded from preventive participation in awareness. TB, overweight, abuse, lack of exercise, no engagement because there are no Pali speaking outreach workers, community workers, over there. More like to suffer twice as much from racism, prejudice, and bigotry from indigenous and other sub-regions, a 19th, 20th century Irish English relationship. Service providers can't plan appropriate services and cost implication, yeah? Now, I've been given a note that I have some of the bar. What I would say is, the papers that have been presented before me, they talked about obviously political and human rights situation. What's happening in this country? Kashmir is not on the political Richter scale. Kashmir is not on the political Richter scale because Kashmiris are absolutely invisible. The media does not engage with Kashmiris because they don't appear. Similarly, the politicians don't entertain. And it's the Pakistanis and it's the religious barons who use Kashmiri sentiment for human rights to demonstrate outside the Indian embassy and the like to create Kashmir centers in Brussels and London and file cases, you know, like in America. But it's the Pakistanis who are using Kashmiri sentiment and it's the British government who are breeding the excluding Kashmiri and bringing coloniality into Europe, really. It's a coloniality we have seen as 1930s Irish-English relationship. We have seen by Pakistanis and Indians as second-class citizens in this country. And they use us for this, you know, through politics, money, maybe reasons. And then I will leave you, and I don't want to take a lot of time. I think I've said what I said. I will leave you with two things. There was a German debate, watch it, by Russian MP, my MP, my constituent as well. And the German want to watch Geo News, yeah? And he talked about Kashmiri inclusion and how severe and biased Geo reporting was, that there is no Kashmiri, that there are Muslims, that we're going to talk to people and we want to do in Pakistan, and there's a real, real campaign against that MP. But my mother was interviewed by one of my friends. She came from America and she was doing a PhD. Inshallah, somebody she has gone. My mother said, I was born in United Kashmir, got married in divided Kashmir, she's 84 years old. And I came to England as a Kashmirian. Now no one accepts or asks me what I am. They all tell me I am Asian, Pakistani, and Muslim, but not Kashmiri. They don't accept. That's an 84-year-old woman saying that. Now you tell me, is that not human rights abuse?
Thank you very much.